The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.
Welcome to the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast. We are back for, well, I don't know how many more podcasts there'll be, but Kerr's Hire style. It's going to be the prelim edition this week, and the Cats are staring down a shot at another grand final if they can get over the Brisbane Lions. Kingy, I watched, well, I didn't actually watch it because I was Brahms and List on Sunday, it's fair to say. I was absolutely...
Old Adrian.
Yeah, I was in a world of hurt, Kingy, right. Including not being able to really sort of string too many sentences together reasonably late in the night. But I couldn't believe it that the Brisbane Lions got over the GWS Giants. I didn't see one kick. I watched a little bit of it yesterday.
Yep.
But 8 goals behind, get over the Giants in Sydney and set up a match with the Cats. And I was thinking that, well, I think Brisbane was my preferred. I don't know what the other supporters think, but Brisbane was my preferred option to play. I thought that GWS had more talent than the Lions. And somehow they coughed up another lead, Kingy. Adam Kings would be absolutely furious. But sets up a big one for Geelong on Saturday afternoon.
Well, they've gone from being a foot in a home preliminary final to out in 5 quarters. Well, actually, 4.5 quarters. Mm. They were well and truly...
44 points up.
That's the second biggest comeback of all time in a final.
Yeah, it was obviously just diabolical. Talking to a few people, I was speaking to a Lions supporter actually yesterday, and he was saying how...
You weren't talking to Nathan Sharrick,
were you? No, I wasn't. He did text me, though.
He's a Lions supporter.
Yeah, he is a Lions supporter. And I was talking to another Lions supporter who was telling me how poor GWS were late in the game. He said they were absolutely abominable, and the Lions were good enough to take advantage. So I was thinking about a few of the matchups, Kingy, for this week, and is it mouth-watering is the old term that we should be using?
Guess what? Busey will be playing because they put him up to do media today.
Well, he's definitely playing.
He's definitely playing.
Lock him in for Jeremy Cameron. Not Jeremy Cameron.
Charlie Cameron.
For Charlie Cameron.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's not playing on Gary Cameron.
Or David.
Yeah. Or was the other Cameron? We had another Cameron, didn't we? No, maybe we didn't. Busey for Charlie Cameron.
Yep.
Who is dangerous. I don't think he's had a great year, though, Charlie Cameron, has he? I mean, I don't follow the Lions religiously.
Not to his
but
usual high standard.
No, he's had some pretty average
I reckon
sort of
he's
setups.
Probably been impacted by Link McCarthy.
Yeah. They've got a few out Brisbane.
They do.
Obviously, Keaton Coleman is one. I'm not talking about from the weekend. No, I'm talking about across the year.
Darcy Gardner's
out.
Link McCarthy.
Yep. And Keaton Coleman's probably their most creative defender.
They'll still come back, just doing some numbers, preparing for next week. I think they still come back with about 16 or 17 of their grand final team from last year, which is pretty handy on the MCG. You're going to have some Cats playing, younger Cats having their first final at the MCG.
Yep.
There'll be 7 or 8 of those. Although the experience from Port Adelaide for Manor, Humphreys, Dempsey, Bowes, Ollie Henry, there's a couple of others in there. Tanner Bruin's played a couple of GWS finals, but not on the MCG. We'll actually probably hold them in good stead. They go from the hostile environment to actually a more friendly. Although Brisbane Lions supporters, an old Fitzroy supporter, they'll turn up pretty well.
They'll have a good crowd. They'll have a little contingent. What sort of crowd are you thinking they'll get?
Oh, I'll get high 80s.
Do you reckon?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's hope so. I don't know what the long-range forecast is, but lucky it wasn't last Saturday because it was Scheisenhausen.
The weather's not great.
The weather's been absolutely putrid, King. Putrid.
Felt like July 14 on Saturday, not September 14.
The old Flemington track was heavy on Saturday. Mm. Which didn't suit our girl, but it was...
Just to back to 2022 in the prelim final, it was 77,600.
Yeah, I would have thought mid-70s they'll get. And it'll be a bit weather dependent.
Yeah.
If they get a nice night. But
is it being the only game, well, not having had not many games through the final series, it's
possibly
only the second one in Melbourne?
Possibly.
We'll get a few more.
Do you think, and this is going to sound stupid, right?
I'll judge that.
Do you think that... it was a little bit of, I'm trying to phrase this correctly, which I won't, but do you think how poor Port Adelaide was 2 weeks ago?
False indication for the Cats.
Yeah.
I think that there was a mixture of Geelong were up out of their skin and Port were just that far off.
They were.
And Port will never play, well, they didn't play that badly again. The other thing is too, Port put the cue in there. When they knew they were done halfway through the third.
Yeah, they did.
They put the cue in the rack.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And that made the margin.
Inflated the margin.
Yeah, you're not playing for percentage or anything.
No.
You're just playing to get through to
make sure.
Well,
when they hit the front, was that like midway through the second quarter?
Yeah.
Early in the second quarter?
Yeah.
And for about 2 seconds, Jack Bowes kicked a goal.
Jack Bowes kicked the two most important goals of the game. The one that got the lead back really quickly.
Yep.
And the one to start the third quarter.
Yeah.
To get that sort of momentum going again.
And he's the sort of player that we need to play well against the Lions. If he's playing well, it just gives you a bit of extra juice around the ball, which they need. Dangerfield was fantastic against Port. He needs to play well. I mean, we're not rewriting history by saying that, but he just makes that midfield look so much better when he's playing well. You know, Tanner Bruin, Tom Atkins, Holmes, they just need those second and third tier players. Probably interesting, Kingy, the matchups in the game. Do you think Geelong will play Sam Dakone?
I was going to ask you the same question. I don't think they will.
Well, they've got Hipwood and Danaher.
So
who plays on Danaher?
Does Blitzars go to Danaher?
Well, yeah, that's a possibility. And but then who goes to Hipwood?
Jack Henry goes to Hipwood.
Jeez, I don't know. Hipwood's one of those sort of fluky players. He can get hot. He's 203, I reckon. Yeah. He's going to be giving away 14 centimetres, I reckon. Can you have a look up? I'll try and pad. But I reckon he's 203, Hipwood. Well, he's at least 200. I reckon he might be 203.
204.
Yeah, there you go. So he's going to give away 15 centimetres.
Potentially. Yep.
Jeez, that's... he struggled. I've said this before. He struggled, Jack Henry, on those sorts of players.
He's had a really good year in the end. The second half of the year.
Second half of the year's been fantastic. Yep. And he's been on some good matchups. He struggled against those big Goliath forwards. And that may have correlated with the midfield getting whipped during those games. But he's 189 centimetre sort of halfback who can play a little bit taller than he is because he's quite good in the air.
He's 191.
191, is he?
Yep.
He's done one. I'm sure he's only listed 189 on those sheets you give me. No, you're taking 2 centimetres off everyone.
He's 191.
You don't want 2 centimetres taken off, do you?
No, Kenny? Benny. Do you play Dakone?
You want to have... You,
Benny,
yeah.
Do you play Dakone?
Oh, jeez. Oh,
I'm too busy to edit, by the way, Ben.
Yeah, I know. There's no need to edit anything there. I was trying to lead you down. Lead you astray.
No, really?
Led astray. Geez, Kingy, I don't know the answer to that.
So you bring Stuart back.
Do we play in... Yeah, well, Stuart comes back.
Four?
Probably Mullen.
And you keep Tui as your sub?
Well, I wouldn't, but yes, because the coach loves him, so he won't go out. Like, it's going to require...
Mitch Duncan.
Maybe Ireland to be on fire for him to not be playing. So
Mitch Duncan redeemed himself.
He did. He played well. That was his first good game for quite a while. Yes, he did. He did, Kingy, and that was the sort of game that I'd been hoping he'd play when I said I'd rather have him in the team than Tui, and he'd cocked it up every week until that final. Can he back it up? I mean, we're talking about Mitch Duncan being an unbelievable player for Geelong, and we're wondering whether he can back it up. That's probably where he's at. But it was a timely return to form for him. Tui came on and, he was on for 5 minutes, really. He didn't have time to do much. Would you leave Mullen in?
Unless you're sending him to a Lachie Neale to do a job, no.
I agree.
Yep.
Well, so who would be your sub then?
Oh, Tui.
You think Tui's the sub again?
Yep.
Okay,
I think it's Stuart for
Mullen.
Mullen and...
I just wonder with Hipwood and Danaher, you've got two blokes. Danaher's got to be 203.
So then are you squeezing Tui and Duncan becomes your sub? Tui's probably more flexible.
I don't agree with that, but they both can play maybe similar type roles. But I don't know if he's more flexible.
Tui can play a forward role, whereas Duncan can't. If you had to send Tui forward as a small forward, you could do that.
Yeah, possibly. At a stretch. I'll give you that.
He can take a mark inside forward 50.
Yeah.
Mitch Duncan's not coming up and taking a pack
mark for you. In fairness, King, I don't think either of them are good subs, to be honest with you.
No, the best subs, unfortunately, got 54 staples in his head.
Yeah. Yeah, he has. Yep. So
saw him today down at the club, Gary Rowan. He was in at the club.
Oh, yeah.
So he's been, there's a shave spot across the top of his head, and that's what he showed. He leaned forward and he goes, here, have a look at this.
Was it sort of Fry Tuck style?
Well, no, not Fry Tuck, but yeah, there's the mop of red, and then all of a sudden there's just a strip.
Really?
Yeah.
A strip?
A strip.
Well, like a landing strip,
is it? It's been shaved.
On your head?
Anyway, there's 54 staples. I think he said 54 staples in there.
So has he got a sort of a big bald area there?
No.
Oh.
No.
No, he isn't. Because you know that's what they say about people that are bald.
Mm. No, I don't know, Benny, and I don't really care. Let's move.
It's a solar panel.
Yes.
For what?
Yes, Benny, we are well aware of what the saying is.
What is it? You finish it off. You make yourself feel better. Finish it off. Go on. Do it.
Benny, grow up.
Okay.
Just grow up.
Yes,
right. So I think we just, the one change, Stuart for Mullen.
Yeah, well, Kingy, you know, I don't know the correct answer to that either, which is, I'm torn. If Blitzarves and if De Koning was to come in, it gives you a bit of coverage down back. You've got two key backs.
Yep.
It also allows you then, if things aren't going your way, to put Blitzarves up the ground.
Yep.
Because if we've only got Blitzarves, we can't really move Blitzarves. He's stuck in defence, which is, I'm not against that. I think that's, I've always maintained that's his best spot. But it doesn't give you a lot of flexibility. De Koning in, he goes to Hipwood. And then if it was required, you can put Blitzarves up. I just think you become maybe, my only reason for getting De Koning in would be it gives you more flexibility with only Blitzarves. I just think you're a little bit pigeonholed into what you can do.
And then if Stanley's having an off night against McInerney, then you can use Blitzarves to stretch McInerney.
Yes.
Around the ground.
But without De Koning, I don't think you can take him out of defence and be running with... Okay. Running with Colajasny and Henry against two blokes that are 203 and 204 centimetres.
Okay, so Mullen and who go out then if you're bringing in Stuart?
Well, I'd be dropping Tui out.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Duncan going to your sub? Or
Duncan probably is your sub.
Yep.
I mean, look, if Duncan can do anything, he can come in and he can win the ball in terms of if you can get it to him, he's a good user. He can create something forward of centre. I know you're saying he probably can't play forward, which he can, but they don't really need that. They've got enough players to play forward. You've got Close Dingle, Myers, Manor, Ollie Henry. You don't really need someone, even if one of those went out, you still don't need somebody else to come in and play up forward.
Yeah.
You need somebody maybe who can come on and get you seven or eight touches, maybe create something with a couple of those touches, which Duncan can do.
Could that be Brad Close?
As the sub?
Yep.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, that's a possibility.
Hasn't
I think it'd
the,
be left field, but it'd be
been
it's
the
a possibility.
Greatest, Nick.
No, he had,
and he hasn't kicked a goal.
He had three gilt-edged opportunities against Port, and he missed all of them.
Hasn't kicked a goal since round 20 against North Melbourne. So he's actually kicked in. He's only actually had three behinds against Port Adelaide. He's only had five shots at goal.
All three of those shots were gettable.
Yep.
Very gettable. Yep.
So is that a potential that they're looking at? That if they
well, I think everything would be on the table, and I don't think that is the silliest suggestion because we do have a plethora of those mid-sized type forwards. How they see his role would be interesting. I don't think he played poorly against Port. He didn't star. Had he kicked two goals, you would have said he played quite well. He missed.
He had 15 disposals, which was his best return.
How many tackles?
Collingwood game.
Did he have a tackle?
Tackle, he didn't lay one.
Yeah, and so I reckon he's had a lot of games this year he's only had one or zero tackles.
So tackles have actually dropped off. He had seven against the Bulldogs down here in the wet on a night conducive for
it. Yeah, well, you'd fall on some bloke. Yeah. And
four against North Melbourne in Hobart, and he's only laid four in those games since.
Yeah. That's probably his area of concern. What about how many tackles did Stengel lay? I mean, I know he played really well, but what's his tackle count?
Two.
Yeah. I mean, it was a bit of a free-flowing game.
They only laid 47 tackles, Geelong. So if everybody's averaging two, he's got the average.
Yep. I just think our defence, getting it right in defence is going to be critical, and they've just got those... They're really streaky-type players. Danaher played really well against GWS from all reports. Really well. Kick four.
Yep.
Hipwood didn't play so well. Hipwood can be a really streaky player, though.
Erratic.
He gets hot,
yep.
And he can be red hot.
Yep.
So the other players then, we've got Cameron. So we've got Buse going to Cameron.
Yep.
I'm happy with that.
Rayner?
Yeah, well, Rayner, I'd be looking at, you've got Colajasny or Henry.
Yep.
That's where it becomes...
Zach Bailey?
You could probably go run with Zach Guthrie on Rayner.
Yep.
To a degree. So I don't know, Rayner's the greatest defensive player. Zach Guthrie might be able to get off him a little bit.
Yep. Bailey's one that can.
Well, Bailey comes up into the midfield. He probably spends more time in the midfield, but can come forward.
Somebody's just got to be watching.
You just got to be...
Same with Zorko as well. Both can...
Well, do we tag Zorko? Do you put Mullen to Zorko?
It's a big call. Zorko's not the youngest bloke going around.
He's 35.
All of a sudden. And he's playing on next year. All of a sudden, he's become crucial.
He's very good. Very good. And I know he has been tagged with some success by teams. Would Geelong, I doubt whether Geelong would go down that path of tagging a non-midfielder.
Go ahead, Dad.
Well, yeah, I mean, you just got to be very mindful of him just creating, because he's very, very good at it. He's Tom Stewart without the sort of marks and the... he just gets the ball a lot. He creates. He's a good user. He's a good decision maker. I don't know. When was the last time we tagged a non-midfielder, though? I don't think we have.
No.
So I doubt whether that's happening. Do we tag Lachie Neal?
Well, that would be Mullen.
Yeah.
Used to be O'Connor's.
Like you say, though, if they're not tagging with Mullen and they're just hoping to play him, I wouldn't play him.
Yep.
That's not a knock on him. I think he's had a good year. He's developed. But I wouldn't be playing him in that role as a sort of a freewheeling defender.
Yep. See, well, as much as Geelong had a lot of the footy, he still only had 9 disposals against Port Adelaide.
Yeah, he doesn't get a lot of it.
No, wasn't winning it at will.
No. He did a few good things.
His time will come.
Yeah.
I think he's got some... He's got some tricks.
Yeah, he has. He's got some speed.
Yeah.
We saw one passage of play where he got involved in the outer wing. He I think he's had a good season. How many senior games has he played? 10, 9?
Mullen this year has played the 11.
11.
And got a final in.
That's good. If she said to me at the start of the year, you get 11 games in, and that's why people say, Jai Clark, where is he? Well, he's had a good year. I think he's played 12 or 13 senior games. It's been a good development year for him. He's a second-year player.
Yeah.
So...
After having an injury issue last year, really, he was a first-year player. He lost most of last year.
There's nothing wrong with the seasons of those two players. They're developing and heading in the right direction. So up the other end, Kingy, they've got a few little issues. Payne played last week, but he is not 100%.
No, and playing on Jeremy Cameron.
So do they play Payne on Cameron?
Yes.
Who do they play Harris Andrews on?
Neal. And probably what will happen is, I reckon Andrews will let Neal go up the ground and find the footy, and he'll pick him up on the way back. And if Geelong don't use Neal, Andrews will just look to position himself.
Get in the way. Well, he's very good at getting in the way.
Yep.
Big game then for Neal.
Massive.
In terms of what he can do, and it may not be that he's getting the ball a lot, but he may need to be... I hate using the word decoy, but...
He's just got to keep Andrews occupied.
Yeah, but if the thing
that... He's got to be dangerous. He's got to make him put himself in dangerous spots.
The only problem with that, King, is you really need to have some experience to do that. He doesn't have the experience to do that.
Well, it's got
to
be blokes on the field telling him where to get to.
Yeah, but at some point it's got to be initiative yourself. It can't just be guy telling you run over there. It has to be reading the game and knowing when to go. The other thing about that, King, is if that is the case, and Harris Andrews is a gun intercept player, he's not the greatest at picking blokes up.
No.
If they use Neal at times... Make sure they're using him, because if they don't use him, Harris Andrews will just let him go. Mm. And he think, well, he's not going to get used. I'll actually get across. So I think it's about if it's viable, make sure you're using Shannon Neal. So it creates a little bit of an element of doubt for Harris Andrews. Oh, hang on, they are using this bloke. I can't just let him go wherever. Yeah, you know, I can't just go wherever I like and not worry about him. So it's a big role for an inexperienced key forward, though, against an absolute gun.
Who's going to Ollie Henry? Is that Ryan Lester?
Well, possibly. Then Ryan Lester's just a good toiler. Very good toiler.
Who's going to Stengel?
Well, this is where the conversation gets...
Starcevic or somebody like that?
Well, Starcevic, I think if you look at the numbers, Kingy, across the last 2 months, has been one of the best defenders in the AFL.
Mm.
He's been really, really good. Now, I know people don't follow Brisbane religiously, but his figures and the way he's played across the last 2 months has been... sort of, you know, Tom Stewart sort of style. Maybe not getting the ball, but he's been very, very good.
Yep.
I'd say he would be first crack. I just reckon this is where Geelong maybe have an edge.
Yeah.
If their midfield can find a way, we say this every week, but if their midfield can find a way to break even or create enough chances for the forward line, I think they're one or two short in defence, particularly with Payne not at full strength.
Mm.
So Stengel, Starcevic probably goes to Stengel. Myers comes up the ground. I don't know who goes to Myers.
Is it Answorth or somebody like that?
Possibly.
Follow him up the ground.
Yeah, possibly. He and look, Answorth's not the worst player you'll see.
No, he's a gun.
Yeah, he's handy.
Yeah, very, he's a
very, very handy. But I just reckon that Geelong perhaps have an edge, but it's all dependent on getting enough service to be able to utilise that, get enough one-on-ones. And we saw the Cats do it really well against Port. I think Chris Scott said before the game that basically alluded to the fact that Port Adelaide perhaps aren't the greatest team defending one-on-one. So if Geelong could win the ball, move it quickly, and actually create some one-on-ones, and we saw it happen more often than not, didn't we? Because how Geelong looked, Geelong's most dangerous weapons in that game was that they looked dangerous when the ball hit the ground inside forward 50. They looked really dangerous. And I think there's an opportunity to maybe do the same against the Lions. Yep.
Questions, Benny?
I love questions.
Ultimate Warrior. Geez, you two need to apologise for the continually bagging. That's continual bagging. You're looking at Ultimate Warrior. And underrating of these lads.
Well, who do we have to apologise to? I'm not sure about that.
Apologise to whom?
Who have we bagged?
Just ask for Operator 42.
Just having a succulent Chinese meal. What
Democracy Manifest. Yeah.
Who are we apologising to, though?
Well, yeah.
I mean, we're constantly bagging. Who are we bagging? We haven't bagged... Well, I've bagged a few, but I haven't bagged anyone. The thing about this is that I'm thrilled that the Cats are in this position. I just didn't think that it would eventuate, but that's fine. Yeah. Everyone can have their opinion in footy.
We got called clowns and spankers too by somebody who's actually, I think, by looks of it, deleted their comment after we basically said, well, we clowns and spankers are ready to go for our next podcast. So.
Well, I don't. Are you a spanker, Kingy?
More a clown.
Are you?
Yep. Oz Sparky, what opponent do you think we'll be facing? I think we're going to be playing Brisbane. Who would you pick for West Coast next coach? Would it be Stephen King? I don't know what West Coast.
Do you reckon they'd have a crack at Luke Beveridge?
I'm not.
Do you reckon he's run his race at the Dogs? I reckon he has.
Okay. All right. Would you bring in just Tom Stewart as the one change?
Yes, but we've spoken about that. I will be fascinated, King, to see what they do with the team, because I think there's that many ways you could look at it, and it'll be maybe the weather plays a part, although our decision making selection wise with the weather has been way off. So let's hope they don't factor the weather in.
Dudas Maximus, how do you explain these last two Bradbury-esque years, 23 and 24? No sustainable advantage spanning years, i.e. no dynasty building, minor tactical improvements, a strategy well running dry, lottery with injuries, equalisation working amongst top few sides. So I think they're talking about clubs winning the flags that might not necessarily be the best.
So what are they saying? Well, I think Geelong... Do you think... Well, they're there, I suppose, but did you think Geelong will be top four?
This year?
Yeah.
No, I had them finishing 10th.
Yeah. So you're as surprised as... At least I had them in the finals. You had them out of the finals.
Yeah, I'm out of the finals. Yeah. I know, I was way off.
The draw... It's just sometimes how full, isn't it? The draw fell for them.
Yeah.
Port Adelaide were always going to be gettable.
Yep.
Because they're flaky.
Wow.
And they had a few injuries. We've got Brisbane this week. Now, I'm not saying Geelong are just going to turn up and beat Brisbane, but I think Geelong are a better chance of beating Brisbane than they are beating GWS.
Mm.
Somehow Brisbane beat GWS. Don't know, explain to me how that could possibly happen when you're 8 goals down, but they did. And Neil was in a moon boot. He'll play. He 100% will play, but he's clearly not 100% right.
No.
And the other one was Payne. So I don't think they got any other injuries though, the Lions, did they? That was
it. No. Howler 41. Have to say, I didn't give us a lot of hope going into the game, particularly when Alf Stewart was out. However, I'm currently sitting down to eat my hat. Superb effort from the Cats. Cracked in all night. Our pressure was superb. We didn't fumble. The little changes here and there since the Carlton loss have had big results. Lawson Humphreys didn't miss a target. Phil Taylor dart style. Oh, the power.
180.
We don't have a deep midfield, but we do have a brigade of mid-forwards who push up and down, use the ball well, link up with handball. Sean Manor pick raised eyebrows, but it's turned out to be a ripper. Speaking of eyebrows, Ollie Henry looked like Commandant Mauser from Police Academy 3. I think he was a commandant. What was Mauser's?
Was that the one that was at the... that wasn't the guy at the lectern, was he?
No, that was Commandant Lassard.
Right. Yeah. What happened to him?
I don't know, Benny. Week off, refresh and have a crack at making the big dance. Great to see Hawk and Guthrie in the VFL. I'm sure if you could bring back Guthrie in one game. Yeah. In off one game, that won't happen. And I'd personally not pick Hawkins. Neil, game high 9 marks. Was actually a season high, career high 9 marks. 3 contested. Great signs from Nevitt. 39 touches, 13 clearances, 10 tackles in the VFL. really feel next year he can and will step up into the senior side. That's unless he becomes part of the deal for Bailey Smith.
Do you think?
They're going to want something.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens with that. But did he have 39 possessions in the twos?
Yep.
Did he?
In that semi-final.
Against Southport?
Yep.
Never.
Yep.
Goodness. That's a good effort.
Skater in town, I vividly remember you guys being extremely negative about the recruitment of Sean Manager in a pre-season podcast. At the time, you went on and on about us being a mid-table team and him taking us nowhere. The same bloke was probably best on in the final. He's only 27, so ideally we get another 6 or so years out of him. Surely you know by now not to underestimate the club, especially the recruiters. Time to admit you were wrong.
Oh,
and I did reply. I said, we questioned the use of the selection from memory, possibly thought they could have gone later as mature ages the Cats have selected go. He's one of the earlier picks aside from Tim Kelly. I did say Stewart has been much later, but Stewart was a 40. But Atkins, Podsy, Adley, or later, or rookies. We were keen for him to be in the team when he was out because 27-year-olds playing VFL when drafted doesn't appear to be a prudent use of a selection.
I think that's fair enough. Mm. I don't think we ever suggested that he wasn't going to take us anywhere because we were a mid-table team. I was questioning the pick that high when they already had a number of players who played that role. Mm. Now he's come in and he's done really well, and there seemed little point in him developing in the twos if at his age. Mm. And you know, whatever he's done, he's come back and he's been fantastic. He's we've said this heaps of times. He's got something slightly different to the others, albeit he plays the same sort of role, but he has a bit more grunt to him. I think, and I'd be hoping, Kingy, that he is one that could force his way into being more of a permanent midfielder next year. You know, he's quite good around the contest. He sort of bullocks his way through. He can hold himself up in tackles. He's got some little traits that some of those other smaller forwards Geelong have don't have. That's why they can't play in the midfield. Stengel, Myers and Close. They don't have the strength to play in the midfield, which is fine. That's not their go. Manor does. So I'd love to see him elevate next year with a year under his belt into a midfield. He's going to always be good around goal, but more of a midfield forward rather than a forward midfielder. Yep. So it'd be interesting to see what his progression is. But, we're allowed to question it, and I think you had every right. We weren't the only ones questioning it. And, he's come in and played well in a game where they've won by 15 goals. So if you're going to play well, it's going to be in a game when you win by 15 goals. But he has been good at the back end of the year.
Son of God, 29. Seriously, how good is this team? Year after year, media Muppets like Kane Corns and David King write us off and give no credit to our footy club. All week we heard nothing but Port this and Port that. Then we just slide into the Adelaide Oval in front of 50,000 South Australian nuff-nuffs and make them look like they should be playing GDFL reserves. Chris Scott even had the confidence to tell the world on Fox Footy how we were going to beat them. 20 years, 14 prelim finals, 6 possibly 7 grand finals and staring at an opportunity to play for premiership number 5 of a two-decade era. What more could you ask for as a supporter / member of the club?
Ah, exactly. Written and authorised by?
Son of God, 29.
Son of God?
Yeah.
Gary Ablett.
Junior.
Is that Junior?
Yep.
Texting in.
Yep.
I mean, that's all 100% correct. Mm-hmm. And do you think they'll beat Brisbane?
Yes.
You do?
Yep.
You're confident?
I'm not confident, but I'm preparing for 2 weeks from hell.
If the Cats are in the granny.
Yeah, because my workload just goes through the
roof. Do you think Geelong can win it now?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I think that the way things have fallen, I think that they are a chance.
Yeah. I did say whoever won the Geelong-Port Adelaide qualifying final would win the flag.
Well, I don't think Port could have won it. I don't think Port would have won it, even if they'd beaten Geelong.
Yeah. No, I thought Port's midfield would carry them through 2 finals at home.
Yeah, I think I think it's.
And they remember they gave Sydney a 112-point touch-up only 8 weeks ago.
Yeah. Do you think it'll be a Geelong and Sydney granny?
Yep.
Yeah. I think Geelong have got the harder prelim. I think Port Adelaide have run their race.
Yeah.
They won't be beating Sydney and Sydney.
No.
And Geelong have the harder game because Brisbane have, they've been a perennial finalist. What's the stat? They're the only team that have played finals in each of the last 6 years.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So they've got some very, very good players. I don't think we're just going to turn up and win.
But no, it's not going to be like 2 years ago in the prelim.
No. It'll be tight.
Yep.
But I think Geelong's best can win. I don't know that we would have beaten. I'm more confident beating Brisbane than I was playing GWS.
Thought Neil's game on Friday, Thursday night was a great one. 9 marks and 2 goals too. Benny was right. Wait till he plays 100 games. Think the change for the prelim are not difficult, whether we play GWS or Brisbane. He's got into Coning and Stewart for Mullen and Duncan.
Well, yeah, it's not the stupidest thing. You'd think if you're going to make the two changes, it's Mullen and then either Tui or Duncan, one of the two. I think the fact that they went with Duncan last week and they made Tui the sub probably gives you a little insight into what they're thinking. And Duncan played okay.
Yep.
He didn't star, but he played much better than he had. You'd think that he retains his spot. If they were going to go that way, then Tui comes out.
Daz Broncos, how good is Zach Guthrie now from the memory of the way he got mauled by Cats fans after Ruffy outbodied him all those years ago in 17 and 18 to the way he plays now? Remarkable. Now he plays the Boris Stewart role with the same poise as they did. Point is, as Benny has said many times, let the kids develop.
Yes.
Biggest question for the prelim, it comes down to who's got the best performing bottom six on the day. Mullen, Buse, Duncan, Ollie Henry, Tui, Bowes, Manor. I've given 7 to make a list of 6, all of whom played excellent games in the qualifying final. So the question is, whom is in your bottom six and how much in the qualifying final will they need to be?
Well, your bottom six, you probably just generally go straight to your most inexperienced players, I would have thought.
Yep.
Neil.
Dempsey.
Dempsey. Yeah, Dempsey's had a good year, but can he produce in a prelim?
Humphreys.
Yeah.
Manor.
Yes. I'd be confident that Manor will play well.
Yep.
He's a bit older. He's played, I know it's different level, but he's played very well in VFL finals. He has a bit of finals experience against men, and he's not a young kid. So I'd be confident that he will play okay. Concern's not the right word, but in terms of your confidence levels in them playing well. Shannon Neal is still very inexperienced and likely plays on one of the best defenders in the comp. Lawson Humphreys looks unflappable, but will that continue in a prelim? He's still young, and anything can happen when you've only played, 10 games?
Will Brisbane try and manoeuvre it that they get Cameron somewhere near Lawson Humphreys?
I don't think Geelong will hopefully be that stupid. They'd be looking to lock down Cameron, and hopefully it's Buse as the man. So that's 3 we've listed there.
Buse is in the bottom 6.
Do you think he's in the bottom 6?
Yeah.
Is that because only because he's been out of the team this year?
Yep.
Oh, I don't agree. I think Buse, 200 games?
170.
Yeah. He's nearly 30.
No, Buse's older than that. Buse's 31.
And he's played in the premiership.
Nearly 31. Yeah. He's played in the premiership. Yeah, but so what if we had Humphreys, Manor,
yeah.
Neil, Dempsey. There's 4.
Yeah.
Mullen is 5 if he plays.
I don't think he'll play.
Then who's your next? Is Brad Close in your bottom 6 at the moment?
Give me some other names, Kingy. He'd be 1.
Zach Tui?
Yeah, well, he's definitely in your bottom 6. Yeah. Well, you have to manage him every second
week. Mullen. Is Atkins in your...
Well, Atkins is not in your bottom 6. I'd be going that one there. Tui, Neil, Manor, Humphreys,
Mullen.
Well, I don't think he gets in.
Dempsey. Yep.
And one other. Maybe you could go a closer or Tui, but I don't think you count the sub as in your bottom 6.
No. But they might have to play a role. You don't know.
No, that's right. Yeah. Hopefully they're not. You don't get an injury and they need to come on really early. But my biggest concern would be Shannon Neal playing well. Not because I don't think he can play. I think he's going to be a very good player. It's just going to be a big stage for us.
He has to.
Yeah.
Ledger Cat, I had high hopes for Jai Clark this year. Do you think he's underperformed not to be in the best 22 by the end of his second year?
Absolutely not.
No. Remember, his first year, for the most part, was a write-off. He got injured in that Richmond game, his debut game, and we didn't see him again.
Yeah.
Yep.
No. He's had a good year, 12 games.
Yep.
I mean, yeah. Do you know who spent... Two players I'll name off the top of your head who spent most of their first... Actually, one of them played a lot initially in his first year and then spent, I reckon, close to a year, maybe not a year, but a fair bit of time in the twos over the next year and a bit. And another player for Geelong who spent... I reckon he took him a year and a half to break into the team. Do you know who they are? One was Paul Chapman.
Yep.
And he ended up being an absolute star. And the other one was Jimmy Bartow. Yeah.
I'll tell you the other bloke.
Do you know the other one? We've played this before. You know who was playing reserves in their 5th year? Tom Hawkins. He was in the twos.
I reckon Andrew Mackey took a while to get going too, didn't he?
Well, he had spaghetti arms. So, he took a little bit of time to find his feet. Yeah. Corey Enright, he took 4 years to find his feet.
Yeah.
We just don't have any patience anymore, Kingy. It's frustrating.
Foxdog50, just wanted to say thank you for the live stream of your commentary. It's great to hear you boys who have a passion on Geelong Football Club. Even my wife said she had a few laughs on the commentary when Benny Cass was talking about when Stanley got into the old plums.
The old plums got together. He had to do this sort of count, the one, two, three.
Here's my
old twig and berry skinny.
Here is my facetious moment. Funny on how good Blitz played when he went back as a key defender rather than trying to run around in the midfield, but saying it all year, he's not the same player he was 2 years ago. We had to start playing him to what his best football is at, and that's him not playing in the midfield and playing in defence.
Oh, look, I agree, but I've always maintained his best position is defence. That's where he plays his best footy because there's an element of play reading that goes out of the game in defence. And I've said this heaps of times, somebody else sort of tends to have to read the play for him, and then he goes to the contest, and he's got such good range and such good running ability that he can get to the contest. In the midfield, you have to actually have a sound and innate knowledge of the game and be a good game reader. I don't know that that's him. Now, we've spoken about it. Do they go with him as a one-out key defender? That's going to be a really big call, Gingy.
Gail the Snail, hey, fellas, appreciate the effort you guys go to keep the podcast going. When you're putting your opinions out there for all, you're bound to get some wrong. People hanging SHIT on you or any other media commentators out there for having reasonable takes and getting them wrong is pretty poor. Also, being able to delay the live stream is amazing. So if you haven't caught up with that news, we on carrotfootball.live now, you can, if you want to sync it up to the TV call, you now have that ability with a delay feature that we've added, plus minus. So it's had
Maddie's done a heap of job, great job on that.
Yeah, so rave reviews for that. Kingy on the broadcast, you said it was unfair of people to be giving Charlie Dixon the Bronx. I say he deserves every bit of it. He's a dirty player who picks on young and vulnerable players consistently. He tried to bully SDK a couple of years ago, and he made Ollie Henry eat dirt on Thursday night after a contest. If that's the way he wants to play, he can cop Bronx cheers all day.
He did. He gave Blitzarves one too, a bit of an ear massage. It was probably a little bit unnecessary. I mean, look, that's the way Charlie Dixon's played. Yeah, I don't know. He's a bit of a passionate sort of player. He sometimes oversteps the mark. I wouldn't have said he was a dirty player. He can go overboard at times, but I mean, that's just him. He couldn't get near it, King, could he, on last Friday night?
Howler 41, if you want a podcast which doesn't deliver any criticisms whatsoever and doesn't question the club, listen to the official Geelong Cats podcast. I don't always agree with the Carrock boys, although I do most of the time. At least they question things Ray Martin, a current affair style.
George Fungus.
Geelong Sicko, when I said that we weren't recording due to illness.
But that's true. Who said that?
Howler 41.
Yeah, Howler, I mean, if you're going to have an opinion on footy, you're not getting them all right. No. And it's not like I was critical of, not so much critical, I questioned the pick of Manor because I just thought we had enough players like that. Yeah. Okay, he's come in and been great. And he needed to come in and be great because he's 27. But he has, which is great. I'm happy about it. I'm not disappointed that I'm wrong.
No.
And I'm not disappointed. I said Geelong couldn't win the premiership. I maintain that. And I think that they possibly can now. I'm not disappointed about that.
No.
It's just the fact there's no point saying you're Geelong going to win the flag, coming with my face painted blue, say every player's going to win a Brownlow and everyone will be enormous with medalists and we're going to win every flag and we're going to win every game, we'll never lose another game. I mean, who wants to hear that?
It's a reverse Moz of a different kind.
Absolutely. But I think it's opened up for Geelong and I'm rapt that's happened. But you've got to be able to have an opinion on something. If you don't get it right and it turns out to be a positive, isn't that a good thing? Like people love saying, oh, you got that wrong. Well, get lost.
Geelong Sicko, must be that bug going around that kept Tommy Stewart out of the qualifying final. Hope it's not the Rona. And my reply was, somebody suggested Benny was eating humble pie and ate too much. Daz Broncos,
I've been eating
what... washed down by an ample refreshment, if the brown bubbly water's more like it.
I did have a few refreshments on Saturday. I wasn't at the footy, but I've been under the weather, Kingy, last week and this week.
Yeah,
anyway, I'm getting there.
Calm the Catters.
Yes.
Just rewatched the QF and three words kept coming to mind: toughness, aggression and speed.
Mm.
Tanner Bruin has real mongrel. Yes,
yes, he does.
Belted Horn Francis repeatedly, and I'm increasingly impressed by Bo's hardness. He's not quick or silky, but he puts his head over it, tackles hard and runs to smart places.
Yep.
As for Manor, he's a beauty, aggressive, quick, tough and fast decision maker.
Yes.
Even Lawson has a bit of mongrel about him. On the other hand, I'm convinced we can't carry Duncan and Tui in the prelim. Maybe one is a sub replacing the other at a stretch, but I would say Stewie and SDK in for Mullen, unluckily, and Duncan or Tui. Unfortunately, we just can't consider Hawkins and Guthrie given their layoffs.
Who wrote that?
Khan Catters.
Yeah, I agree with everything there. I agree with all that. I think that is 100% written and authorised by Khan the Cutters.
Yep.
And well said too. I think that is just, you know, that's just sort of straight over the goal umpire's hat, Kingy.
Andrew Daly off the KFC X. How important is Lawson Humphreys to the side at the moment? Seems to have the ball on a string like Miss Helena's punching ball on Romper Room. Also awesome to see Dempsey's leap for a mark. He reached similar heights to the Griswold family truckster in the Arizona desert, and he actually put the little gif up as well.
I used to throw my banana sandwiches at the TV when I was watching Romper Room because Miss Helena...
No Benjamins?
Never saw a Benjamin, ever, ever, in the history of the show. I wanted to make a complaint. I want to complain. But I didn't. But, yeah, I was always disappointed that Miss Elaine didn't see me, Kingy, because I was thought she'd see me at some point.
I see you, Ben.
And she didn't. But all that the Khan the Cutters and Andrew Daly, they're talking about Lawson Humphreys. I agree, and I've mentioned it a few times during the call, that Lawson Humphreys just isn't a pretty halfback who uses the ball well. He's actually got an element of toughness to his game. He puts his body on the line. He's courageous in the air, which isn't always easy to do. And he's got enormous development to come because he doesn't exactly ooze AFL sort of set up with a rig, does he?
No, he's only one pre-season in.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. The improvement when he starts to sort of rib it up a bit, Kingy, which you hope will happen.
Yep.
Maybe he won't. Maybe that will be him. Like the old dog's body.
Yeah.
But I think he's got some real upside, but he isn't just that sort of nice halfback. He actually has got a bit of mongrel to him, which I reckon is a good call.
The Hoops crew is 84, the new 119. So 119 being the margin of the grand final in 07.
Do you know somebody had a jumper on? That was really rubby. That was gutsy, wasn't it?
119 on it.
Yeah, a Geelong jumper over there with 119 on it.
Neil Watch, I'm anticipating a young Tom Hawkins coming of age in the final situation. He looks more and more comfortable and confident. Who else could be about to stamp themselves in the next finals? Finals.
Stamp themselves as a young player?
Yeah. I think Tanner Bruin can have a real influence.
Yeah, Tanner Bruin's. Oh, I've always maintained he's going to be a very good player for Geelong. But just a real good foot soldier.
The next 2 weeks, I reckon, is when Tanner Bruin goes up a level.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think you probably expect that though from a top 15 draft pick.
I think Ollie I think Ollie Henry can tear a prelim.
Well, I've said those two guys are going to be very good
but,
Geelong.
But long-term. The thing that's going to help Ollie Henry is that I just don't think Brisbane have a matchup for him.
No, like we've spoken about, I think they're one or two short in defence, yeah. Brisbane. The player who I think will possibly justify, well, not justify, but will continue on is Manor.
Yep.
Just the way he plays, he's built to play well in finals.
Frakey, boys, how many changes are too many during the finals? On Saturday, Nevitt was that far superior to the rest. It was frightening, not just possessing, but his use of the ball and gut running. Guthrie looked good, but also on Friday, it might be old Tomahawk done. I don't think Mitch Nevitt's getting a call up.
No, I don't think he is either, and I'd be absolutely flabbergasted, Kingy, if Hawkins or Guthrie got a game. I don't think he could possibly even consider Guthrie. And Hawkins...
Especially when they couldn't get another game or two out of them at VFL.
No, you just couldn't. It wouldn't be prudent to be putting Cam Guthrie in. You'd just be putting him in a name only, which I don't think is the right way to go. And, I mean, who do you drop out? I don't know. Mullen, I suppose. But and Tommy Hawkins, it's just unfortunate, but he's I'd be surprised if he got a game.
Still a wonderful career.
Yeah.
Adrian Mancini, really impressed with how all the younger players went the other night. Thought Mullen looked comfortable and his speed stood out. Does he play in the prelim? I think he's the out for Stewart.
Oh, I think he is too. Yep.
Trevor Young, tough call. Who comes out for Stewart? Mullen. I think Mullen also can't see it happening, but do they make Cam Guthrie the sub? Versatile. Not sure if he's A1 ready though.
No. You just don't. You just can't. You just can't put a bloke in with the amount of time he's spent out into the furnace of a... And then sit him on the bench and expect him to come in and have an impact. I think your sub needs to be somebody who is perhaps in good touch, because you need them to come on and have an instant impact. They don't get a quarter to find their feet. They've actually got to come in and create something straight away. So I don't know if you want to have a player necessarily who's out of form or been off for a long layoff.
Mm. Damien Tedesco.
Mr. Tedesco.
King and Cass, great
Mr.
call.
Mr. Tedesco.
Mr. Tedesco was very family ties on the couch all week. No mention of Geelong. No one gave us a chance. King, is that the best game Holmes has played? Cass thought Stanley competed well. All round good team performance. Let's hope next week will be the same. That was one of Holmes' best games for Geelong.
Yes. We haven't mentioned him too, Kingy, but well, you mentioned him very briefly, but huge game for Reece Stanley because McInerney, he is the unsexiest player in the comp. In terms of the way he plays, but God, he's effective, and he can be very, very, very influential. And he's going to have a big size gap on Reece Stanley. Stanley's got to find a way to nullify him so he just doesn't, because he's actually a very good tap ruckman, yeah. McInerney, and he's a good mark around the ground. He's not going to run off and get a handball, and he's probably unlikely to kick you the odd goal. I mean, he can kick you the odd goal, but I don't know, it's a big one for Reece Stanley. He was good against Jordan Sweet, but as we spoke about with Troy Selwood, Stanley should have been expecting to beat Jordan Sweet, yep. Not just break even. Like we Cat fans raise our hands in the air when he breaks even. He should be expecting to actually beat Jordan Sweet. McInerney, a good result would be break even.
Nuffy from Corio.
Oh, Nuff.
What a performance Thursday night. Old Nuff's only concern is the power that gave the Pussies some false hope.
Yes,
hate to say
that.
But Hawk is done and Nuff is prepared to eat humble pie for Ollie Henry. Like a broken clock, Benny is right. At Alta Virtute, go Cats.
Well, so, Nuff's obviously St. Joey's old boy. Do we know who Nuff is?
I've got no idea, but At Alta Virtute is...
Is the magazine, motto. Yeah, which the Joey's the magazine that comes out every...
No, that's Virtus.
Oh, that's the Virtus. What is it? Oh,
it's the motto.
Yeah,
the,
that's
in
right,
Latin.
It is too. So, maybe he's not. The Virtus, that's right.
you pulling stupid faces in photos and stuff.
Yes, possibly. Was enough wrong about Henry? All we said was he was a good player.
No, I think... No, he
said... Oh, about dropping him out.
He said eat a humble pie.
Yeah, well, and that's enough. Will be happy to eat that humble pie, I reckon, because he's not disappointed that Henry's come in. And I've said this 1,000 times. If you have a career in footy, you are going to have patches. Kingy's just popped his cheek off that chair there and passed a little bit of wind, did you or not? Was that that noise?
No.
It sounded like you did.
No, I didn't.
If you have a decent career in footy, Kingy, every player, I do not care who you are going to have a patch where you struggle.
Hmm.
And if you are playing half forward in an AFL team, you are going to have periods when you struggle.
Yeah,
it's just...
You're playing starvation corner sometimes.
100%. Now, Ollie Henry will say he had just an okay year. He could end up kicking 35 goals.
Yep. As many as last year, but you still end up in that vicinity.
35 goals is a pretty good return for a year that's poor.
Yep.
The midfield, so you play back, you're going to get beaten every now and then because the opposition have got some good players and you are going to find yourself in spots that aren't great and your midfield's going to get beaten and you are going to get beaten. Your forwards are the same. You're going to have games where you struggle. Jeremy Cameron's had games where he struggled this year.
Yep.
I mean, he made All Australian off the back of 37% of his goals were against North, West Coast and Adelaide. Here at home, 37% of his goals were against those three bunnies. He had some games where he was very average.
Yep.
It's going to happen. The one place where you can maybe pad things out of is in the midfield.
Yep.
You can get some, you get 23 possessions and really have absolutely no impact on the game.
Correct.
And you think, oh, you've played okay. Whereas it's magnified in defence and it's magnified up forward because we can read the stats and say, oh, Jake Colajasny had 3 goals kicked on him. Ollie Henry, he only kicked 1 goal and had 6 touches.
Hmm.
But it's just how footy goes. You're going to have those periods.
Yep. That's it, Benny.
Well done, Kingy.
We're done. I'll see you
absolutely
at the MCG 4 o'clock on Saturday.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to it, Kingy. I think, I thought we were a good chance to beat Port because I thought they were flaky. When Stewart went out, I was like, And I still thought that they were a chance. I didn't think they'd win by as much as they did. I think their best can beat the Lions, but I think it's going to be a very, very tight game.
Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.